On Wednesday, the NHL rejected the latest collective bargaining proposal from the players' union. 2 days later, the league canceled games through December 14th and canceled the 2013 All-Star Game. Gary Bettman would have been the most ridiculed and despised commissioner of a major sport even if the NHL hadn't locked the players out again this season. It's the third time he's resorted to that measure during his 2 decades as commissioner. Jonathan Gatehouse, the author of The Instigator, How Gary Bettman Remade the NHL and Changed the Game Forever, joins me to discuss same. Jonathan, welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Why did you begin The Instigator by describing how Gary Bettman deals with chants of Bettman sucks while fans are tossing cups of beer at him?
Well, you know, I think that's how most fans know Gary Bettman. That's how they see him. The jeering of the Bettman, I call it, where every spring when he stands at the center ice at the end of the Stanley Cup final to hand out the cup, how the crowds show their great distaste for him.
When Gary Bettman became commissioner, he was regarded by many hockey people as an outsider, a fellow who really didn't belong in their sport at all. Why was that?
Well, he had come from the NBA, where he had been for more than a decade. He was a number three man. You know, he was an American, and, you know, he had never played the sport.
In the subtitle of The Instigator, you contend that Gary Bettman, quote, remade the National Hockey League. Is this because at least when there are actual games, the league generates a lot more income than it did when Bettman took over as commissioner 20 years ago?
That's part of it, but I think it's far more profound than that. I mean, you know, when you think of it as a business, it was a $400 million a year business when he took over in the 92-93 season. And now it's $3.3 billion a year, as you say, when they're playing. But, you know, there have been changes to the rules on how the game is played on the ice. There have been many changes off the ice, the way the game is marketed, the product that you consume as a fan on television and how it's sold to you. There hasn't been a figure who has had a greater impact on the game than Gary Bettman.
You write that at one point during negotiations between the league and the players back in 1995, the union felt they had discovered, quote, the secret to dealing with Bettman. Feed his ego as much as it could take until he fell into blissful self-reverie. Why hasn't that strategy worked this fall?
Well, I think he's wise to it in part. The problem here is that everybody has been through this 2 times already, and everybody knows what the real timetable is. In 2004-2005, which was the year that they canceled the entire season, the ultimate date for settling was in mid-February. The season was canceled on the 16th of February, and they even talked for a week or so after that. There was still a chance they'd play. So, you know, a lot of this is posturing and maneuvering at this point. But do the players have the better of Bettman right now? I don't think so. I think at this point, he's already won, because whatever deal gets signed, it is going to have that 50-50 revenue split like they have in the NBA and like they have in the NFL, and that's what he's promised his owners.
Your contention in The Instigator is that the National Hockey League lockouts have been caused by owners who have been, quoting now, unable to help themselves and needed someone else to impose discipline on their finances. Would you say that Bettman has succeeded at that task?
Well, I think he's gone part of the distance, and that's what this lockout is about, if it's about anything other than pure greed. It's about completing the work of imposing discipline. If you go back to Bettman's days in the NBA, you know, sometimes people refer to him as the architect of the NBA's salary cap, and he wasn't the architect of the cap. What he was the keeper of the cap, which is something quite different. He was the fellow who had to try to stop the natural tendency amongst owners and general managers and agents to collude to find a way to work their way around the system. And, you know, that's what he's been trying to do with the NHL. He failed in his first attempt to get a cap in 94-95. In 2004-2005, he got it, and he not only got a cap, he got the toughest salary cap in all the pro sports. This time around, it's about closing a lot of those loopholes, things like getting rid of what people call the backdiving contracts, those large deals like Kovalchuk signed with New Jersey, where guys get, it's $100 million over 15 seasons, but almost all of that money's up front, and really it's a way to defeat the restrictions under the cap.
Despite the increased revenues the National Hockey League has enjoyed over the years, the NHL is still far below the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball in terms of popularity. What's the best the league can hope for going forward, assuming that it goes forward anytime soon?
Well, that's one of the great debates about the NHL, right? I mean, it is a major league, but it's surely not in the same league as those other three that you mentioned. But, you know, the best that they can hope for is, to, I think, to separate themselves a little more from the rest of the pack. The TV deal that they used to have with NBC before this current one, which is a $2 billion 10-year deal, was the same deal that Arena Football had. You've got to get to a place where, you know, you may not catch up with baseball, you may never catch basketball even, but where the game is growing and it's considered to be a decent property, not some sort of fluke or sideshow.
When you talk about the NHL separating itself from the other sports, Jonathan, is it fair to say that right now the NHL is most separate because it's most inept in managing to even get a season on?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, what you see right now seems to be following a script that was written by first the NFL and then the NBA, right down to the debate this week about whether or not the players' union might decertify as the NBA Players Association did. I don't know if it's inept. I think certainly it's been inept in, or callous is perhaps even a better word, in the way that it's dealt with the fans. You know, as you mentioned, this is the third lockout in 18 years under Bettman's tenure. And, you know, the fans have a right to be angry. And this time, really, there is no particularly decent argument or ideological basis even for this other than finishing a task for Bettman, but really mostly about the greed of the owners.
Jonathan Gatehouse is the author of The Instigator, How Gary Bettman Remade the NHL and Changed the Game Forever. The book is published by Triumph, and the author joined me from the CBC studios in Toronto. Jonathan, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you for having me.